Speak, Lord, in the stillness as we wait on you. We pray that this morning we will hear your word, that you will fill Margaret with your Holy Spirit, that she may speak to us your word, and that hearing and listening, you will help us to act upon what you say to us, because we ask it in your name. Amen.
Amen. Next week, we start a new sermon series on being a generous church. So this is the last talk in our Christmas series. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, please open our ears to hear you, our eyes to see you, and our hearts to receive you. Amen. Two boys, born over 1,000 years apart, both sharing similar experiences of life. Both mothers, that is Hannah and Mary, had voiced songs of praise to the Lord. We are told in Luke 2:42 that Jesus was 12 years old on this visit to the temple. Samuel was also believed to be of a similar age when he first heard the Lord. Eli was a surrogate father to Samuel, as was Joseph to Jesus. Hannah and her husband went to the temple every year, as could be seen in the previous chapter of 1 Samuel, taking a sacrifice and a new linen ephod for her growing son. Similarly, Mary and Joseph made an annual pilgrimage with Jesus to the temple. 1 Samuel 2:26 tells us that Samuel continued to grow in favour and stature with the Lord and with men. In verse 52 of the reading we've just had in Luke, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and men. Growing in wisdom is only attributed to Jesus. For both boys, this was a life-changing experience, signifying the start of the ministries that both would follow. But there the similarities diminished. Jesus lived at home in Nazareth with his family, and this is the only incident in Jesus' childhood that is recorded in the Gospels. This would prove to be a significant change to the emphasis that he would give on the word Father, and was the first time that Jesus speaks for himself. Mary had a deep devotion to God, and although not required to, she would make the annual journey to the temple in Jerusalem, about 80 miles, for the Passover feast with Joseph. Jesus was not expected to present himself at the temple until he was 13. We are not told, but presume that the whole family would go, and that this would be a familiar trip. The fact that it would take almost a fortnight in total, 3 days travelling there, 7 days of celebration, and 3 days return, would have taken great commitment. Travelling back in a caravan of friends and family, it is perhaps not surprising that Jesus' absence was not noticed for a while. As we know, he was found in the temple, and it is here that we are introduced to a young man showing signs of great wisdom in the way that he listened and asked questions of the teachers in the temple. When Mary chided him for causing her distress, we see the first transition of the status of father from Joseph to God. From the way that Jesus speaks, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" we can discern a little of the relationship that he shared with God, which would be revealed more fully through his mission and ministry as a man. On the other hand, we find Samuel living in the temple, being visited by his mother and father once a year. Hannah, having been blessed by the gift of Samuel, gives him back to the Lord to worship him, and to live with Eli in the temple. At the beginning of our reading in 1 Samuel, it is stated that in those days the word of the Lord was rare. Visions did not happen very often either. Eli was old, his eyes weak. So Samuel would have taken on a role of attendant. His duties around the temple would have been fitting for his age and experience. Maybe in the quiet times he would read and pray, thus knowing a little about God's ways through the written words. Sleeping close to Eli, he would have been able to answer the calls of the older man. It was probably about midnight when only the lamp of God, the main source of light, would still be on. It was at this time that Samuel first thought that he had heard Eli calling. Twice he went to Eli, only to be told that no, Eli had not called him, and to go and lie down. It is only on the third time that Samuel appears at his side that Eli realizes that it is the Lord who is calling, and so gives Samuel the words to answer with if the Lord should call again. When the call comes again, we are told, the Lord came and stood there, suggesting some form of visible presence. Samuel, Samuel. Samuel in obedience replies, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Two young men, one who knew God intimately, the other just beginning a relationship with the Lord. One, Jesus, whom we want to be more like, the other, Samuel, with whom perhaps it's easier to relate. What can we learn from these two readings? Like Samuel, we can often miss the Lord speaking to us. We can worship and not hear his voice. Perhaps we have never really heard his voice and don't recognize it. Or we have not built up a two-way relationship with him. Perhaps we hear but don't listen. Or we do not give him significant time to just be in his presence, to be quiet and listen to him speaking to us, as Jesus did. Perhaps when he speaks, we don't understand what he's saying to us, so we need to enlist the help of others in whom we trust to listen together. Perhaps he needs to call us several times before we answer him. Or maybe we come with the wrong attitude. Through the Christmas narrative, God spoke to the Magi and Joseph through the medium of dreams, whereas he dispatched angels to physically speak to Zechariah, Mary, and the shepherds. But how does the Lord speak to us today? Maybe not so much through angels, but he still speaks through dreams and visions and through the written word, the Bible. However, we cannot limit God, nor should we, to presenting himself through these means only. We can hear him speaking to us through conversations with others, pictures, photographs, everyday objects, social media, books, films. The list is endless. Personally, I find listening to the Lord easiest through the natural world. A couple of years ago, I crossed my patio to get to the back gate in order to go to the shop. I remember thinking that three times I had cleared the weeds out of the cracks between the paving stones, and there they were again, reappearing. On the return trip, into my consciousness came the thought that my life is so often like that, in need of constant weeding, because they have a habit of reappearing again. Then came the Lord's voice, you need holy weed killer. 2 years later, I am still working on it. I have brought along my headphones as an example of listening to the Lord. When I have them on so that they fully cover my ears, the outside world can be blocked out completely, and I can enjoy the quality of sound that comes out of each earphone. The clarity is such that I don't miss a thing. The musical instruments, the harmony of singers, wonderful. Sadly, I cannot keep them on all day and every day. I would miss the phone going or the door being knocked, conversations with others, news updates on the television and so forth. And so I often walk around with just one earpiece close to my ear. The other pushed to one side, much easier with earbuds. The sound going into just one ear, whilst with the other I can hear the sounds around me. That way I can get the best of both worlds. And so it is with listening to the God. Times of total immersion into the silence, listening for the Lord's voice, are so precious in our present culture of busyness. Yet when we put the headphones on and listen to him alone, they are so rewarding. He wants us to tell him about our lives, but equally he wants us to listen to him too. If it is difficult to find times at home, do please come and join us at Lift, listening in fourth Tuesday once a month. Here there is an opportunity to listen in the quietness for ourselves, for the church and for one another. If you are put off by the thought that we listen for the whole hour, rest assured that it's usually only for about 10 to 12 minutes, the rest of the time we spend in worship and intercessions. But it's also a time when we can experiment in a safe environment, sharing the words that we think that the Lord is saying. I've lost count of the times that I've said, "This may sound strange, but I think God is saying," only to be relieved when the recipient says that it makes sense to me. Well, why not join us before family service on a Sunday between 10 and 10:20, when again we take a few minutes to listen? We need to listen to the Lord 24/7. As with the headphones on one ear, we can keep one channel of communication with him open whilst getting on with our lives. This takes practice and lots of it. And sadly, there are times in our lives when we take the headphones off completely and put them to one side. If you are in this place, please pick them up and put them on again. We have a Lord who waits patiently for us and who loves us for who we are and who wants to converse with us. In conclusion, if we haven't already done so, we need to build a two-way relationship with the Lord. Learn to listen for his voice speaking to us. Come to him willingly to listen and obey. And be prepared to wait for answers to our prayers and direction to follow new paths. As we approach the beginning of a new year with fresh starts and new challenges and opportunities, are we willing to set aside time to listen to the Lord? Now, having spoken of listening to the Lord through the stories of both Jesus and Samuel, it would seem only right for us to have a go. Just for a couple of minutes. There are different ways of going about this. Trial and error will help us to find the way that suits us best. It helps to adopt a comfortable position, perhaps with open hands resting in your laps as a sign of readiness to listen and to receive. Don't worry if your mind wanders. Go with it and see where the Lord leads. For those comfortable with Lectio Divina, i.e. reading a passage through and seeing which words or phrases jump out at you, then may I suggest reading the words through to "Be Still for the Presence of the Lord," the song that we just sung. Alternatively, concentrate on a descriptive phrase of our Lord, such as "Jesus is Lord," "Almighty God," "Everlasting Father," "Prince of Peace," "Shalom," or something similar, saying it over and over again to yourselves as a mantra. Or focus on the cross, the banners, the candles, or the flowers. I will say a short prayer to lead us into quietness and a prayer to close in. Heavenly Father, you give us so much of your time to listen to us, and we so little in return. In these few short moments, we ask for your help, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to open our ears to hear you speaking to us. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Fall afresh on us.